This is HDN. Hey, Halifax, it's your daily news.
Well, I told you I was changing it up a bit. You know, like
say
that one?
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday. No, it's not.
It's Friday, Friday.
You just finished watching that documentary about commercial and cartoon.
Oh, cartoon
voices.
Voiceovers.
Yeah.
Wow. I know that voice. It's called, and
yeah, it's on
Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
Very, very neat. Old June Foray. Do you know the name?
It kind of tweaks a little something, but fill in the blanks.
Voiceover actress.
Right.
With Looney Tunes. Mm. She played Granny.
Okay.
Oh, dear. You know.
Yes.
But she was also Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Okay. And Rocky and Bullwinkle.
And
yeah,
Natasha
yeah.
from Rocky and Bullwinkle. And basically every other voice in every other cartoon that required a female voice, right up until, are you ready for this? She's still working. She's 95 years old, and she
really?
Is still doing voiceover work.
What can she do now?
God bless her. She does Granny really well now.
I'm sure she does.
She does. They all kind of sound like Granny now.
Yeah.
But she just won. I believe she just won an Emmy, like, recently.
Wow.
For doing stuff. So, yeah, I find that really, really fascinating.
No, I find it fascinating as well. I mean, just watching a little bit of the documentary with you the other night, I mean, it's something that I have never aspired to, but unfortunately had been thrown into a news
cartoon
bag.
Voices she's talking about. You might know her. She's the purple Powerpuff Girl.
But no, I mean, as more and more positions were cut back at the radio station, more and more I was requested or asked
to do voiceover work,
which is not my forte.
Well, that's the whole point. People in charge of radio and whatever, they
yep.
if you can read, then read in front of that
you
microphone.
You can do a commercial.
Sure,
no,
you can't. That's like saying, they do the same thing with your profession, too. They say, well, if you can read, then you can read the news.
Yeah.
I used to read the news on the All Night Show in Edmonton, and I was horrible. And I can read very well.
Mm-hmm.
I got an H, which was honors back in elementary school
for
oral reading.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't translate well. There's a disconnect between what you're reading and what goes into the listener's ears, unless you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the same with voiceover artists. And that's what they were trying to talk about on this documentary, is they are voice actors.
That's it. Exactly.
And it's actually harder to act as a voice in a cartoon than it is to act on stage, because on stage, you've got your arms, you have your legs, you have all the facial expressions. Movie actors, they've got it made. They can convey an emotion or whatever just with their face.
That's right.
Well, if you're a voiceover actor, you have to go overboard. If your character is hungry, how do you sound hungry? And, you know, you might just say, well, you know, you don't have to sound hungry. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. And see, that's why you have excelled.
Because I always sound hungry.
No. That's why you've excelled in the, you know, commercial and voiceover work.
I'm the purple Powerpuff Girl, by the way. You might know me from the cartoons.
I mean, you have the radio background, but you also have the acting background. I mean, I don't know, you know, there's not too many people who know that you came this close to graduating from university with a degree as a drama teacher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those two things are key when it comes to doing commercials. I've done newscasts my entire life. And when I say my entire life, I mean my entire life. I remember getting one of those flat top tape recorders as a 8-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and reading newscasts into it. So
That's very funny, because I remember as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, I had one of those little tape recorders as well. And my cousin and I, cousin Peter, who listens to this podcast, we do voices.
Yeah.
We do plays, and I would play all sorts of different characters.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing that.
Mm.
Just like you enjoy doing the news, your job at CBC, you're like a pig in shit, if I can say so.
I don't get to read the news.
But you're surrounded by news. It's a newsroom.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what's happened in radio. When you and I first got into radio, there was a newsroom. It was a smoky place where people were ripping copy and rushing it into the news. Oh, we got to get this on the air and that kind of thing.
That's
just,
the way
just
it
like
was.
In the movies, yeah.
Yep.
And now it's a bunch of computers. Really, that's most radio stations don't even have it. It's just not the same.
No.
Breaking news. Come on. And the news directors all smoked. It was like J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man. or now it's funny. Mickey from Rocky.
Oh my God. I remember when we used to have our newsroom on the 19th floor of Queen Square in Dartmouth.
Oh, Q104?
Yeah, the old Q.
Oh, there was a lot of smoking going on there. But
yes,
we're not
there was.
It's not the news directors.
No.
And they weren't
no.
cigarettes
And
either.
It was the back stairway, and they used to call it the stairway to heaven. But I digress. But our newsroom had a circular table in the middle of the room that was surrounded by glass windows that overlooked the harbor. And the center of this circular table was empty. And that's where we had our garbage can. Mm-hmm. And we actually used carbon paper at that time. Can you imagine? How antique is that?
Mm.
And we just crumple it up and throw it in the middle. And
how many actually made it in?
Exactly. Some of it did. Most of it didn't. But just about everybody in that newsroom smoked. And at that time, you could still smoke at your desk.
Sure.
There was so many cigarette burns on that wooden desk in that newsroom. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. The newsroom was the smoky area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before they said you have to smoke. First, it was you have to smoke in the lunchroom. And then a bunch of people started complaining because, this is horrible. All the smokers are in here. Then you had to smoke in the back hallway by the back exit. Then they moved it outside.
Mm.
And yeah, the smokers just kept moving up. But when I first started in radio, everybody smoked, but they would go into the newsroom and smoke with the news guys. I was left out.
Smoked.
At least I thought that's what they were doing. It was so smoky in there, they would walk in. Of course, I kind of hung out in the control room, but people could smoke in the control rooms too of a radio station.
Yep.
And there was an ashtray on one side and a place where you put your coffee on the other, just two little bunks underneath the desk.
Yeah.
And if you would pull yourself towards the control board by holding onto that desk,
right,
your left hand would be covered in this sticky, gross tar from all the cigarettes that were in this bunk that kind of the smoke. You know how much damage smoke does to equipment?
Yeah.
I can't believe how much equipment they must have gone through back then just because of smoke damage from all these smokers.
Yeah.
I think within a year of me being at the radio station, you could come in the door and see all the smokers huddled out by the back door. Yeah.
Well, we kind of had the advantage at Q back in that day because being right on the top of Queen Square, we had an amazing patio. We actually had sliding glass doors that led out onto a patio. So people would go out there and smoke. And then if they wanted to smoke other substances, then they would go out onto the patio and then go around on the top of the building by the neon sign.
And I want you to name people now who were smoking those other substances.
Names.
Oh, come
I
on.
Never
That's
saw
a
pod- anybody.
It's a podcast. Come on.
I swear to God, listen, I'm serious. I mean, I was so far removed from that culture. And I mean, I literally was a babe in the woods. And you ask many
and
people.
And what a babe in the woods, I might add.
You ask many of those people that I worked with back in those early days, and they shake their head and thought, I didn't think she would last 10 minutes.
And 50 years later, here we are.
Yeah.
Doing the podcast.
Well, certainly the first time I was on air, they certainly said she's not going to last 10 minutes.
Everybody has that tape that they don't like to play to anybody else where your throat sounds like it's the size of a drinking straw.
Oh, my God. As my dad likes to say, I sounded like a dog shit in razor blades. I think I was...
Your dad's such an eloquent man,
he is.
Really. He can really
he can
hit the nail
a phrase.
Right on the head there.
But the thing was, is that the first time that I was on the air on a commercial radio station, I mean, I was working at the Dalhousie station for a few years before I was interning. When you go to King's, the last 2 months of your final first semester, you spend interning. And so I did my internship at Q104, did all sorts of different shifts. I, you know, covered off as a reporter and followed this person and that person. And they asked me if I wanted to sit in on the morning show this one time. And I said, sure, I'll take a week and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
the morning show at that time would have been Bob Powers and...
Would have been Bob Powers
Harv Stewart
and
there
Harv
then?
Stewart.
Okay.
It was the news guy, Michael Wilde, that was notoriously late.
But what a voice.
Oh,
I remember
yeah.
Michael Wilde.
Michael Wilde was great.
I'm Michael Wilde.
Well, he was an actor as well. And I was in observing. I was doing my internship, and it was coming up to 2 minutes to 6 o'clock, and Michael Wilde was nowhere to be seen. The first newscast is at 6 o'clock. And we were an AM-FM combo at that time, CFDR and Q104.
Right.
2 minutes to six, there's no sign of Michael Wilde, the news guy. Andrew Boyle, who does the news for CFDR, he couldn't do both. He couldn't be both places at one time. He looks at me and he says, well, what do you think? And I said, put me in, coach, having no idea, you know, just do like rip and read. I hadn't read a thing and I was scared to death. And felt totally unprepared. And I think from that moment on, I was scarred for life, because anytime that I felt totally unprepared, I would just have a total panic attack. But anyway, I went in there, I read the news, I couldn't catch my breath, I sounded like a dog shitting razor blades, and I just remember that tape made the rounds for many, many months afterwards. I'm sure it was the point.
I've got to hear that. Let's put it on the podcast.
I don't even know. I don't have a copy of that tape. I'm sure. You know what? J.C. Douglas, I'm sure, has a copy of it.
J.C. Douglas has everything.
Yeah. But anyway, God love Andy Boyle for giving me the chance. He took a lot of heat for that afterwards. He had his knuckles wrapped.
You were that bad?
Well, it wasn't that I was that bad. Well, yeah, I think I was that bad. But just the fact that, you know, it's like, listen, she's a friggin' intern and you just threw her on the FM station. Like, what were you thinking type thing? But
yeah, and the rest is history. After 20 years of working at that station, I redeemed myself after a while. Wow. I didn't even know that story. That's kind of cool.
You didn't know that story?
No, I knew that that he threw you on. I didn't realize that he threw you on that quickly. That you had just started and that you were that green.
I was very green indeed. But anyway, we're not here to talk about old time radio.
No. You know, we haven't even started the show yet.
No, we're just the preamble.
I do a little voice at the beginning of the show, and it leads to this. And I guess that's our show for today. Hey, you know what we're gonna do?
What are we going to do?
We're going to do what they do on radio and on the internet with the Throwback Thursdays.
Mm.
So next Thursday, let's do an old... I'm going to try to find that tape of you on the air.
Oh, my God.
If anybody has it, send it in.
I don't think it exists.
Oh, well.
I can give you... I think I've got a copy of one of my old newscasts from CKDU, which
we'll do something like that.
Just as...
And I'll grab something that I did, although... A lot of my tapes were destroyed.
Mm-mm, thanks to an ex, but we don't, but we digress.
In the fire. Mm. The fire being the end of her cigarette burning each individual tape one after another like a voodoo doll. We don't harp on such matters.
No.
Yeah, we'll get those tapes. We'll get an early newscast from you and something from me. Pick a station.
Spin the wheel. And hey, listen, we got an email, or I got a Facebook posting from Perry Faulkner.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite podcast listeners.
Yeah.
And he has a bit of an explanation to our health insurance dilemma that we were talking about yesterday.
Manulife are just jerks, and what does he have to say?
He says, hey, favorite podcasters, believe it or not, my last job was with Manulife.
Oh.
I'd like to tell you a bit about your old Rogers policy.
Mm.
Rogers is a huge employer, and they are actually self-insured, and they rent Manulife for what is called an ASO contract. ASO means administrative services only. So with Rogers, they pay Manulife to process claims, write checks, answer calls, etc. Unfortunately, Manulife gets no control over the actual policy. So when a deadline arrives, i.e. April 9th, some of those plans mean as soon as 11:59:59 passes on April 9th, that's it. You are done.
Well, thank you for that, Perry. The unfortunate thing is April 9th at 11:59:59, they should have received the form because our dentist said that she sent it in immediately.
Well, he says almost all policies in reality can have a bit of a grace period except where the client is not actually insured by Manulife.
Well, no, I understand that they don't have a grace period, which is why we tried to get it in on the 9th. I understand when a deadline passes, you're SOL, as they say. But if you do manage to get something in before a deadline passes... like we did, for them to come back 6 months later and say, oh, you didn't meet that deadline, that's what pisses me off.
Yeah. He says his old job was being the guy who got yelled at on the phone because of plans like this, Walmart, Rogers, Bell, Inco Metal Mines, Toronto School Board, etc. So,
Perry.
God love you, Perry.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have any advice for us, though? I mean, we have checked with the dentist. They actually submitted our forms on the proper day, so... who do we go to? Who dropped the ball in this case?
I know. And I called them today, by the way.
Yeah.
And they asked for my employee number right off the bat. And I said, well, I don't have an employee number because I'm no longer an employee.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We can't help you and your kind.
Exactly.
You're divergent. You have to go out and live on the street. Well, now that we've wasted all of our time talking about our problems and our history and our past and all the movies that we've seen.
Quickly, I got a bunch of messages from Sheldon.
Sheldon?
Yes. Sheldon from Pizza Town.
Oh, the said, poutine pizza master.
Yes, indeed. And social media master, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. He said, morning, Lisa. Wondering if you might want to give some info on your podcast about this huge fundraiser for Sackville Schools. This is actually something really cool that he is doing. They have distributed brochures to many of the schools in Sackville. And, of course, you know, many schools are asking for sponsorship and for donations. And so they are going to provide fundraising every month and give back 10% of the purchase to their school. So each and every month, you know, parents get a card from Pizza Town. And whenever they go to Pizza Town, make an order, they give the card and it's recorded. And 10% of that order goes directly to the school. And then, of course, parents can stop by the store, get extra cards for friends and family. They've done this in their Dartmouth location as well, and but it's really taking off in Sackville. So they said, we're hoping that maybe when it comes time to present the check to the school that you might cover it on your podcast.
Sure.
Absolutely. Got to get myself a card and stamp it, and all the money will go to Lockview.
And I guess we do have to wrap things up. Our sponsors get very upset if we go over. By the way, this show is sponsored by Manulife, by people who drive in the left lane for way too long.
People who don't use their turn signals.
And people who don't turn off their turn signals. But before we go, I want to bring your attention to our Facebook site.
Okay.
And maybe the website, too. I might put it up there. I ended up parking right beside this Accord, license number FFX502.
Oh, does he actually qualify for douchebag of the week?
I don't know. Take a look at the picture. Would that be douchebag of the week?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolute.
That's just
jerk.
Laziness.
Yeah. And because he's like at an angle.
Yeah.
There's the back of that Honda Accord. There's the license plate number just in case it's yours. And you can make your own mind up. I'm just going to put the question, is this douchebag of the week?
Okay.
Check it out and see. And have yourself a great weekend. We're going to be back not on Monday.
It is a long weekend, isn't it?
That's right. We're going
to
be back.
We don't get to record a drunken podcast on Sunday after we're hepped up on turkey and wine and...
Keep checking in. We might just do that. Officially, though, we'll be back on Tuesday.
Until then.